When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Great to have you in on a Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel back from Donkey Land, or we'll say Nugget Land. Goddard Clark, great to be with you as well on Hail Varsity Radio Tuesday. 489-1240, number to get in, or 800-825-5865 across the Hail Varsity Radio Network. Always watch the show, stream us. And subscribe, like that page, the Hail Varsity YouTube channel. Give us a follow, too, on the Hail Varsity Radio Twitter feed at HVarsity Radio, at Schmidt underscore radio. That's my Twitter handle, Chris Schmidt. Elijah Herbel's at Herbal Essence. Back from vacation is how he's deeming it. Connor Clark has had some underscores added to his Twitter because
I'm being made fun of
a little bit.
I'm catching strays that don't need to be caught. There's only two.
I was a little bummed because this was my game. I was playing with myself before the show. I'm sleep deprived, and I thought this was
C underscore Clark underscore 27.
There you go.
So I was slowly adding.
You're how many monsters deep with the overnight drive in from the game winner? Good footage, by the way.
From
Denver.
I had a great angle from my seat.
I was going to say from Nichols Arena, but that would put me in Michael Adams territory. What the hell is it called?
Ball Arena.
The former
Pepsi Center.
Used to be Pepsi Center. You're there. You're capturing the video. You shelled out a kidney for those seats, and the place erupts. In that moment, I mean, what was the roar like?
Oh, it was wild.
In the arena.
Well, I'm taking the video on my phone, and it was one of those moments where LeBron misses the three, and if you guys didn't stay up late, the Nuggets were down by 20 points in the second half. They come back to win. It's a tie game late. LeBron on the Lakers' final possession misses a three.
He did some whining last night.
He always does. But I, for some reason, something in me told me, get out the phone. The Nuggets are going to walk this thing off. They're going to hit the buzzer beater. They're going to win it. Pull out the phone, grab the video. The guy behind me, I feel really bad about this, actually. In my celebration, he was also filming the game-winning shot, and in my celebration, I knocked his phone out of his hands, and it shatters.
Oh.
Dude didn't even care. He was too happy to celebrate. He's giving me hugs. He's laughing about his phone. I was hugging random dudes in the crowd. It was like one of those top five sports moments of my entire life that it's just like I've waited for years now to go see a Nuggets playoff game. The timing was right this time around, and for it to be that game that I saw last night where you're down by 20 and you think, this is going to be the worst overnight drive home of all time to the comeback of the year, the three-pointer to win it, or sorry, the two-point step back to win it over Anthony Davis. It made the drive home quite easy last night. I was riding the high off of that victory, not from the other things you can find in Colorado.
Yeah.
Riding the high off that victory for a good 4 hours of that roadie overnight last night, which got me to about Kearney. So then I rolled the rest of the way with a Celsius, 200 milligrams of caffeine, snuck in a little bit of a nap before the show. I ripped a monster here before the show about 30 minutes ago, and I think I'm ready to roll. I'm feeling good. But anyway, long story short, with the sleep deprivation from pulling the all-night roadie to make it back here for this show, I was keeping myself entertained before the show by slowly adding more and more underscores to Connor Clark's Twitter handle on this live stream until he noticed.
The stream wasn't up on the computer in here, and then when I finally clicked over to it, I realized there's something wrong.
Lots wrong.
With my Twitter handle.
It's about seven underscores wrong.
I just wonder, after Saturday's spring game, are we going to be able to know for certain with public opinion and what our eyes tell us Saturday at the quarterback spot. Will we have that answer with QB underscore one? Well, we know without a doubt, based on the performance in front of the people, the third largest city in Nebraska, once you fill up Memorial Stadium. I don't know if it's going to be capacity, but going to be great weather. I think there'll be a ton of folks there, but we haven't seen any documentation that spring games sold out, have we?
I don't think so, but I got really excited driving here today because I drove past where they usually do the Rock the Dock, and they're setting it up right now. I wasn't expecting that for the spring game, but
well, and you just swung by the Single Barrel, which we'll be waving at you from Saturday morning for the weekend
edition. Yes, that's true.
Where you can come find us.
You can wave at me through Schmitty's computer screen.
Yeah. So Connor will be stuck in studio for the weekend edition, 8 to 10 a.m. Saturday.
I feel like I got to do it one more time before
road show,
baseball starts.
4 to 6 Thursday.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's how we're sending Connor out from his college career. Hey, last
dude, we love
game.
You. Have fun finding parking before kickoff.
Yeah, right. No, I got a system down from the fall, so I'll be all right.
You'll be good. I know
a guy.
You'll sprint there, but good to have you in. We'll get the starting five shout-outs in the stream shortly. Big night for baseball, and Nebraska trying to end the Tuesday woes. Mitch Sherman from The Athletic with us in 15 minutes. Kenny Bell, great Husker, and NFLer going to join us at 5:05. Of course, he and Nate Gary and Amir Abdullah going to be at the Herdat Sports Bar and Grill for the Team Jack event and panel. Get there. Get your reservations when you log on herdatsports.com and herdatsportsbarandgrill.com. Get your reservations. All proceeds with food and drink go to help the great folks at Team Jack. Kenny Bell there, Nate Gary, Amir Abdullah, Friday at 5:30. Get there and kick off your spring football weekend the right way. We'll talk to Kenny at 5:05. Michael Bruntz with Husker 24/7. Going to join us to talk some baseball and spring football. Dave Manerick with us from Cornhusker State Games and the Nebraska Sports Council. We'll catch him in the stream at 5:40. In 40 years of Cornhusker State Games goodness, they've got some awesome torch bearers this year, which is going to be incredible. Dave will tell you about. And wiffle ball has been added to the repertoire.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Yes.
We need a team stat immediately.
Okay, I grew up playing wiffle ball.
I got a nasty slider.
Wiffle ball? That would be so much fun.
We'll talk to Dave about doing that, for sure. It'd be great. The Fiddler is off to Spartan Land. We had some thoughts on that yesterday. It's official today. And Brian checks in, hugging random dudes is info that should stay in Denver. That from Brian. Brian has checked in the stream. Jeff is in first. KG, second, as both of them are in Black Hills. Brennan, roll nuggets is what he says. Brandon is here. Jay says hello. Roger Moore, say what's up to Roger. Patrick is here. Mr. Snitley, not in the top five, but number one in our hearts, part of that Boulder Peace Treaty, as he's hoping that Nebraska can beat the Jayhawks. NASCAR Eric is here. The other Elijahs checked in. Walter from Philly. Justin is in. Anonymous says what's up. He's asking about Fiddler. How will Fiddler do it at Michigan State? Could be buried on the bench, or he could average double figures. Either way, I'd rather have him at NU or else. Still in Omaha, Izzo's act has gotten old. Anonymous, I like Izzo. He's the last man standing of throwback coaches. Eat Beef is here. DJ says, what's up? So Elijah is back from Denver. Best part of your trip before we talk spring football and some thoughts on Satterfield and in his commentary. We'll get to more of that in hour one. You had $3 beers at Coors.
Yep.
You saw Wiz Khalifa.
Actually, I didn't see Wiz Khalifa.
What?
We went to the show. Wiz Khalifa was last.
Hold on a minute.
Oh no! First off,
didn't make it to the end.
First off, let's lay things out here.
It did snow.
We talked about in the Saturday morning edition. 5 inches it dumped on like the front range and kind of where we were staying up in the mountains. Red Rocks was included in that. It continued to be cold and dreary and snowy on Saturday night. So being like the one person there that was not partaking in Colorado's national plant or state plant.
I would say national pastime.
Whatever you want to call it. I'm trying to stay warm. I'm drinking double whiskeys and coffee, which they're selling in there. And
and you're telling me you were cold?
I was very cold. It was brutally. I wasn't prepared. I wasn't prepared for what weather was going to be. I didn't bring my long johns or anything. So I saw Flatbush Zombies, Earth Gang, and then we're waiting for Wiz Khalifa. And we're all looking around like, do we even care that much about Wiz? It's cold. It's hellish. Let's just go back to the Airbnb and drink some beers. So we went back to the Airbnb and drank some beers. So we missed Wiz Khalifa, but we saw the show. It's not like we skipped the show. Just after a certain number of double pour whiskey coffees, you
can't take it anymore.
Yeah, you can't take it anymore in that cold.
Is that your first Red Rock show?
It was my first Red Rock show. I hope to be back with a concert that maybe is a little more musical and a little less
party
hazy.
Yeah.
But then Rockies game, Rockies lost. Who cares?
$3 beers.
$3 beers was awesome.
I was really proud of my reply to your tweet, by the way. You and 17 of your closest friends.
It was empty in there. The Avs were playing at the same time, and it was game two of a split doubleheader, okay. So no one stuck around, which made the beer line quite short. And then the highlight of the trip was obviously the Nuggets game last night. So it was all in all a good trip. Happy to be back, though. Happy to get some spring football thoughts and looking forward to the spring game on Saturday. Right back to work.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. Enjoy the trip. I love it.
Brian in the stream asks, were there any random dudes to hug to stay warm?
Those aren't pillows.
Hey, the thrill of victory is what led to me hugging men, not the need to stay warm.
It's Elijah Herbal out of context.
What's the craziest it's happened? Was last night the craziest fan interaction you've had? I about punched my grandmother in the face accidentally after the flea kicker game down in Missouri. We're in my folks' basement watching. Everyone's jumping up and down. Next thing I know, Granny's glasses are on the floor because we're jumping up and down, and Grandma got whacked.
I think it's up there. Like the craziest fan interactions. One happened in a bar in Norfolk. It's whenever Kansas beat Texas in overtime a couple years ago in football.
Oh, yeah.
That was another hugging random people at the bar type moment. But
literally just preying on another team's downfall, too.
Yeah, it was just because Texas lost. It wasn't because Kansas won. It was because, man, Texas lost? Awesome.
Texas lost to two in Kansas.
But in terms of like...
Before that third win.
In terms of the moment last night, a little bit of blood in the water for LeBron, Nuggets being down by 20, completing the comeback. It was one of those sports moments that I don't think I'll ever forget. It's up there. It's probably top three, and I don't think it's three, and it might not be two. It might be number one.
To edit this for the stream, Eat Beef says you should have cuddled up to next to a big person.
A big person.
He's saying the John Candy side.
It's like we had a bunch of Claus burns spawn in the stream today.
we'll talk to Claus Friday. So Adam Rittenberg dives in and asks the question here, what must Nebraska do to finally turn the corner in an expanding Big Ten? And you have Nebraska mentioned in this article with some teams. Spring football is here, right? What are the questions for the Texases and Alabamas and USCs and Florida States? Teams that are trying to contend for the title. And then you've got two sleeping powers that are trying to wake back up. And it really kind of comes down to, do you get, and this is pressure-filled, this statement, but do you get quarterback right at Nebraska, right? Do you take care of the football? Do you get quarterback right? And a line here from Rittenberg is really good. And let's chat about this. We'll get Mitch's thoughts as well. But how does Rule change Nebraska's late-game DNA? And when he had a chance to talk with Rule, Rule's quote, it's on us as a staff setting a standard of the behavior that causes these results, not allowing it. And we're celebrating people who do it this way. I don't know if that's DNA, but getting into winning habits. Now, you got to have success. You've got to win some ball games. You got to win a close ball game to have that proof of concept. I already believe this team's buy-in, as much as it's emphasized and reiterated with the culture and the chemistry, that it's going to follow suit, or it won't be that hard to believe, right? And you got to go do it for sure. And the minute it gets to pucker time, how do you react? But do you instill a not a false sense of security, but do you instill an uber level of confidence where it truly is next play, good, bad, ugly, next play, and then you have winning habits. And do you have depth? Do you have playmakers? Do you have ball security? Do you have guys on third and eight to come off the edge and go get the quarterback? Do you have defensive backs that can cover in some tight situations on third and medium? Do you have a run game that you can lean on? Is that O-line ready to rock and roll and get you 75, 80 yards like the bar was in the fourth quarter? And it comes back to quarterback. Do you have a quarterback that can take care of the ball, presuming the O-line gives him time? Can the quarterback make the play, make the throw, not make the mistake? And right now, the way things are trending, you've got a phenom as a freshman. You've got another uber-talented kid, a home state kid, and you've got a progressing guy that has been developed. He's been coached, and as his offensive coordinator's talking about him, is looking really good. A guy that not only did you win with last year to the tune of five games, but think if he puts it all together where he's an accurate thrower, a confident thrower, on top of his running ability, when and if you have to turn to him. I mean, that's three really nice options for Nebraska, two of which are young. But it doesn't feel like Raiola right now, through his spring, is playing at a true freshman level.
And the question to me with these tight, it's not talent. Talent is not, to me, what is the issue in these close games, because in order to reach a close game, to be down by 3 points late, you have to be able to compete physically with the team that's across from you. To me, it's the question of, and it's a million-dollar question, literally, with rules, salary, and with NIL now, and the amount of dollars going to this program, how do you get your team comfortable in that moment? So it's not tight, it's not loose, it's that perfect mix of confident and looseness. How do you get them confident in that moment that, you know what, it's going to be our result?
We'll get to Mitch Sherman from The Athletic next on Hail Varsity.
It's that time.
Hey, Mitch.
Mitchie. We're looking for you, pal.
Mitch Sherman from The Athletic, talking Big Red.
Unleash the fury, Mitch.
Unleash the fury!
On Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel back from Denver. Connor Clark, we welcome in Mitch Sherman with The Athletic at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Can also hear him with the Locked On Nebraska pod. Mitch, it's almost spring football Saturday. How are you doing?
It is. Yeah, it is. It's like a game day, but not a game day coming up this Saturday. So I'm doing well. Glad that it's an 11 o'clock kickoff, so that should free up some of the day. Looking forward to seeing 60,000 or so people at Memorial Stadium and watching whatever we get to see out there at practice, scrimmage, whatever it is.
Let's get into that, and I want to start off with what you believe, what you believe about the quarterback race going into this spring game Saturday.
I believe that Dylan Raiola has begun to show his talent toward the end of the spring. I think that they've, as Marcus Satterfield discussed today, urged him to play with enthusiasm, and he has started to do that. I think he was fine up until that point, but you're starting to see what made him a five-star talent, or we're not necessarily starting to see that, but the people who are on the field with him, who are in the stadium, we may see a bit of it on Saturday, but I think they'll do their best to make it a controlled scrimmage where the opportunities are equal for the top three quarterbacks, and it doesn't appear that one is running away with this thing. Now, you might see a spectacular play, and it could come from any of the three, but this is a small dose of what the coaches get, not just over the spring, but throughout the offseason. I think that they've all had their moments this spring, and that Heinrich Harburg is somebody who struggled last year to throw the football, has looked good this spring, and that Danny Kalen has adapted well to college football. But what we expected coming into this offseason with Dylan Raiola as the, again, the five-star kid, That reality has begun to become clear within the Nebraska football environment.
Well, Mitch, as we look ahead to the spring game Saturday, and it's going to be the fans' real chance to get a look at these quarterbacks, if we're going to put this on a sliding scale, is the spring game closer to a show for the fans, or is it closer to a real practice with real takeaways, real stuff you can get on film? Because you obviously don't want to show too much to potential future opposition, but at the same time, you want to give the fans a taste of your team. You want to give them a chance to give them, I guess, some excitement for the fall. Where on the sliding scale does the spring game rank to you in terms of the takeaways that you can have and I can have and the general fan can have?
Yeah, if one on your sliding scale is a show and 10 is a real evaluation period for coaches and fans, I put it at like a 3.
Okay.
I think that's it's mostly a show. That's my thought. I don't believe that there's a lot to be taken from this, and that the priority is to get everybody out healthy and feeling good and moving toward the summer. Most of what happens in the spring, the vast majority of the data that the coaches will use to make any kind of decisions that are made now, and a lot of the decisions are going to go into August, but anything that's determined now, the vast majority of it comes in the first 14 practices. And then this Saturday it's an opportunity to see them react in a stadium with people. And for some of the players, I think it's important to have that, to have that data point. And maybe you could put the quarterbacks at the top of that list. That's probably the number one thing I would take away from Saturday with the quarterbacks is do they play, how do they handle the pressure of being in the closest thing that they're going to face to a game-like environment before August comes around. As far as just the performance, completion percentage, the types of throws that we see, there's just so much more to gather, I think, for the coaches from everything else that they see in the off season versus what they see in 10 or 12 throws on Saturday.
Well, Mitch, taking in consideration everything you just said about it being a show, I mean, how physical can you really even be in this game? And I'm more so talking about the trenches, because you want to talk about the D-line, you want to talk about the O-line, how productive are those two units going to be, maybe even the whole front seven for the defense. I mean, what do you expect from kind of that sector of the field?
Well, yeah, I think they're going to be physical. I think they're going to get after each other in the trenches. I don't think that Tony White's defense is going to be sending a bunch of extra pass rushers at the quarterbacks. And even if they do, they're not going to be tackling Harbor, Graiola, and Kalen. Maybe some of the other quarterbacks. Although I would think they're probably all going to be in green jerseys. I'll just course correct myself in the midst of that answer. I do think that the linemen who are out, you're not going to see Ben Scott most likely, or Bryce Benhart, Ty Robinson, Nash Hutmaker, probably very little of Jamari Butler. But I think the guys who are out there, and it's the younger players, there's no doubt. The linemen are not going to ease up. It's not a situation where the coaches and the people who are writing the script for this thing may come up with the game plan for this thing. They may be wanting to take it easy and have it be pretty basic, but the players who are out there are going to play hard, and especially at the line of scrimmage. There's still spots to earn, and every little thing counts. Even though it's probably no more important than another practice, They want these guys to go hard all the time, and you're going to see that for sure on Saturday at the line of scrimmage. It isn't going to be all of the top line players.
Well, and Coach Riley strikes me as the kind of guy that would expect his guys to be going full speed at all times, even if they aren't even wearing pads. Like he that's the kind of coach that he is. Like, oh, you're not in pads, no helmets today. Well, I still expect full speed. That's the kind of coach he is.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And I mean that as a compliment.
I've seen that in practice. I mean, we've been out there at practices where they're in half pads, or they're in helmets and shorts, And yeah, he's on them, and he's just as loud and energetic and demanding as he is, I think, in a scrimmage situation like what they went through last Saturday at Memorial Stadium.
Mitch, let's talk pass rushers. That was a topic of discussion with Coach White in his last media session. And do you feel good about the progress Nebraska can make? Being real, and your friend Adam Rittenberg, a good follow up to his time when he caught up with Coach Rule, was asking about Nebraska changing their late game DNA. That's taking care of the football. That's making some plays on offense. But as great as the defense was last year, they needed to make one more play or get one more stop on third down and eight. It felt like, right? I mean, that was the number. And a lot of that can be solved by taking the ball away or getting after the quarterback. Do you like the progress Nebraska's made or can make, do you think, with the bodies, the options, getting after the quarterback? Do they have a pass rusher or two?
I like what I see on the roster. I don't see a Randy Gregory. I don't see a Joey Bosa on the roster. But I think they have more than adequate pieces. And I think in the scheme that Tony White runs, it's not as essential to have one player who's an All-American type as a pass rusher, because they can generate a pass rush in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. They can get it from the linebacker position, from the middle of the field. They can get it from the jack linebacker position. It's encouraging to see what they say about Chief Borders this spring, and that he's a problem out there on the field after really kind of feeling his way, I think, through that first season in Nebraska, that he's come to an understanding that he can be the kind of player that's a difference maker for Nebraska. We've been hearing about Chief because of the person that he is since the day he got to Nebraska, and we know he's an athlete. He was at Florida, and just been kind of waiting for things to click on the field, and maybe that's happened this spring. So he's someone who can be a big part of the fast rush. Jamari Butler was there last year, led Nebraska in sacks, and I think he'll be a bigger piece of it this year. It's so dependent on the kind of push they can get, or the kind of rush they can get off the edge is so dependent on the push that they get in the middle. Even if Hutmaker and Robinson and Riley Van Poppel and that crew in the middle of the defense, there's a lot of young names there too. And maybe we'll get a bit of an understanding about who's separating themselves among some of the young names in on the defensive line here in the work that they get done on Saturday. Not to say that guys are going to win positions on Saturday, but it could be an indication of the way that they've practiced throughout the spring, just how much they show up on the defensive line, especially on the interior. I think we have a good idea of who the players on the edge will be. So James Williams was somebody who emerged unexpectedly last year as an edge rusher, and he's taken steps, or seemingly has taken steps, to diversify his game. So the thing that Tony White has going for him with his defense when it comes to the pass rush is you don't know where it's coming from. It could come from a cornerback position. It could come from the nickel spot. It could come from the inside linebacker spot with a young guy like Vincent Shavers. So they have a lot of options. I mean, Javon Wright, I think, is such a dynamic athlete that he can rush the passer and get sacks. We've seen Marquise Buford do it from a safety position. So yeah, it's about having a diverse attack, and Tony's very good at scheming that up.
Mitch, before we get you out of here, we got about 60 seconds left. I want you to call your shot. Name the guy that whenever you hop on our show next week, we're going to be talking about. Who's the guy that you think has an impressive spring game on Saturday?
Well, I can't. Who are you? You could be talking about anybody, Elijah. I'm going to say that people will be talking about Maurice Mazzucca. And we've heard some about him through the spring. People will be talking about Ja'Cory Barney. People will be talking about Vincent Shavers. So there's three names for you. A couple of true freshmen, early enrollees. Everyone will talk about Dylan Raiola, but that's a given. You're talking about guys who are a little bit more under the radar. Maybe those two scholarship guys are not. And we've heard about Mazzucca this spring, as the running backs have been a discussion point. He's a third down back. You know, those probably somebody who will get a bunch of carries and an opportunity to impress. So I predict Mazuka, and not the big guy who plays offensive guard, his older brother.
Mitch, good stuff. We'll see you Saturday. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Mitch Sherman, and open phones here till 5. Teddy Bell coming up. Again, the Team Jack event panel and opportunity for you to catch up with Kenny, Amir Abdullah, Nate Gary at the Herdat Sports Bar and Grill. Get there Friday at 5:30, the La Vista location, and food and drink expenditures go towards the Team Jack folks. That's incredible. Get your reservation now with the Herdat Sports Bar and Grill. We'll talk more spring football with Kenny. Check in with Michael Bruns for Husker Baseball. You want to hear Mitch if you just caught part of it or need to hear it again. Spotify, iTunes, Google Play for the Hail Varsity Radio podcast. Give us a rating. Check out the YouTube channel, Hail Varsity Radio. Twitter as well. We'll have it for you. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, Connor Clark. And we're talking about that DNA, that late game DNA for Nebraska. You have folks chiming in on that. Scott says turnovers. Absolutely. Do you have a quarterback that can go make you plays? Do you have a quarterback that can take care of the football? And just an offense in general. Let's hear a little bit from Marcus Satterfield today. And Mitch mentioned it while we were talking with him about part of that leadership slash field general mentality. And it's real. And guys, you know this. It's hard to walk in as a newbie and just kind of start directing traffic, barking orders. Guys, most of the time aren't comfortable with that. You got to show your worth through doing and the work ethic, through the performance. And what's your daily work ethic like? I mean, a lot of that goes a long way, especially on fields of play. And that's one thing that that Sat was asked about. And he was asked about the jump that Dylan Raiola has made, and when it comes to some of the challenges as well that he's had to go through. So let's hear from Sat real quick, and the quarterback plan first and foremost before we get to that comment here. Cut one with just what we'll see Saturday with the quarterbacks.
The plan is they'll all get chances to play with all the different groups. You know, they're still battling, playing. You know, battling and competing with each other. And then what I want to see is just them taking care of the football, securing the snap, taking care of the football, throwing the ball away when needed, just making sure that we have the ball at the end of every whistle.
And what has been Dylan's biggest jump since he got going with spring football to now just a few days removed from the spring game?
I think we challenge him to play, you know, to get his, not bad body language, but to get his energy going, because people are going to feed off him. And he played like he was at recess. He played like he was in third grade out in the playground, flying around, moving around, dancing around, giving people high fives. And I think that bled into our offensive guys, gave them a lot of confidence to go out and do some really good things on Saturday, this past Saturday.
Key word there, Schmitty, you heard, is that level of, I guess, leading by example from Raiola. What did Satterfield say? It gave the offense confidence. It gets back to what we opened the show with discussing. How does Nebraska change its DNA in late game moments? Well, it comes down to being able to be confident in yourself and being able to loosen up in those tight moments. You're down by three, so you don't think, well, what happened the last 15 times? It's about what's going to happen this time. And having a quarterback in the huddle that you have confidence in, not just based on what he says, but what he does, how he plays the football game. Whenever you break that huddle, walk up to the line of scrimmage knowing, hey, we got a quarterback that I'm protecting here, I'm running a route for, whatever it may be, that I can trust in, that I have confidence in, that could be all you need to flip the DNA in a late game moment.
Guys want to play for a dude like that too.
I feel like in order to build that confidence, and again, this is a lot easier said than done, is you got to go do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something that this team hasn't been able to do, whether that's last year, whether that's under Frost. That's been the biggest downfall because, yeah, you can have all the confidence in the world coming in to play a football game because a lot of Division I athletes do, because rightfully so. They're some of the best athletes in the country. But if you get down to that late game situation and you know that you have tried and failed numerous times, that's going to affect you one way or another. Now, to gain confidence in that situation, you have to go do it. You have to have success. You can practice confidence all you want on the practice field. You can gain confidence on the practice field. That's a real thing. I'm not saying that you can't gain confidence over the offseason, but it's so hard, nearly impossible, to emulate a game situation where you're down three with 25 seconds left on the road and you need a win. So how do you do that? Well, you have to have success in that moment, ultimately, to get to that mountaintop. And this team is yet to do that, but hopefully they're taking steps in the right direction just based off of an attitude perspective. And as Elijah said, you're getting that from one of your youngest guys on the team.
Well, and that's part of the five-star makeup, right? They're just different. They're just different dudes. They're uber talented, but you hope the mentality goes different in a good way. Mentality goes in a matching pair with that different arm talent or ability to deliver in those moments.
And for the most part, this is not a hard and fast rule, because we've seen five stars flame out. We've seen five stars that didn't have the mentality. When you think of quarterbacks, think the number one guy you think of is Tate Martell.
It's not a talent thing. It's a mentality and a work ethic.
And that's where I'm going. For the most part with these guys, there's some guys that are just naturally gifted. But a lot of these guys, they got to work for it. There is that mentality level. To reach that level, you have to have a certain mentality. And that's not a hard and fast rule. That's not 10 times out of 10, but 7 out of 10 times, a guy who's a five-star is a five-star for a reason. It's not just because he was blessed by God with the most perfect athletic build of all time. He's a perfect football player.
It helps.
There's guys that are definitely further along in that regard, but to reach the five-star level, you need something to differentiate yourself between you and the four stars. And a lot of times for these guys, it's that mentality. It's what leads them to another level while they're only 15, 16 years old.
Well, you got to rely on your training too, and you hear that. You hear that from coaches all the time. But these guys taking steps, a lot of them together now for a second to spring together with the head coach, their position coaches, their teammates. They've seen it accumulate here. And you go back to what the staff's getting you ready for, and then presumably putting you in position in those late game moments for you to deliver.
We talk about talent too, but I feel like a lot of the stuff when it comes down to it and trying to win a close game late comes down to the stuff that doesn't require talent. It requires energy, which does not take talent. It requires effort, which you can give without regarding talent. I feel like it's a lot of the fundamentals that come down to it that you don't necessarily need to, like, obviously being a Division I athletic freak always helps. I mean, we're radio guys for a reason. But when it comes down to it, I just feel like it's the components of the game that you don't need to be the most talented guy on the field. Just do your job correctly, and everything else will take care of itself. I feel like we've seen a lack of that over the last handful of years. Maybe that's just me.
It's about not only trusting yourself, but trusting the guy next to you. That's kind of what leads to you trying to do too much. Trying to put too much on your own shoulders in big moments, making those mental mistakes. It's a lot of cases.
It's pressing.
Not trusting yourself or not trusting the guy next to you, both of which lead to pressing. Trying to do too much.
Yep. Dion's asking, are they wearing green jerseys? I would bet all of
I'd bet all of Schmitty's money on it.
I don't have any money.
I would also do that.
You would go bet mama's money.
I'll bet a steak and a beer on that.
I'm not taking that bet. Dion, I think they're going to be wearing green jerseys, and if you get too close to any of the quarterbacks, you'll see a member of the Nebraska football team running stairs in the crowd. We'll wind down hour one. It's Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time, Hail Varsity this hour. Kenny Bell, 10 minutes away, part of the Team Jack event Friday at the Herdat Sports Bar and Grill in La Vista. Get there, get logged on, get your reservations. Walter from Philly checks in, believing the quarterbacks will be wearing green bubble wrap. He also says, been here about the turnover issue for 20 years. Can't argue with you at all, Walter, but you just got to think that it's got to turn. It's got to pivot one of these years, don't you think? Thunder Not Collins asks about Elijah and Plumber's crack. You did not take that with you to Denver, did you?
Crack?
Plumber's crack.
No, no crack.
From the commercial.
No, I don't think that's legal in Colorado.
I heard his voice.
Not yet.
I heard his voice come over the commercial. I'm like, wait a minute. Did I leave his mic on for a second? Hold on.
No, he's just talking to himself in here.
I was like, wait a minute.
Montana Husker checks in. I mean, the turnovers can't get worse, can they, right? Huh? We'll take roll call. Hope to see some of you if you're on your way to the spring game Saturday at the Single Bear. We'll be there 8 to 10 pregame show for the weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio.
In-person starting five?
Well, it's happened. A lot of these folks in the stream have made their way to Lincoln for a ball game and have said hi. We love you saying hello.
There you go.
We'll be there Thursday from 4 to 6 roadshow. Connor will be chained up in studio. For the Thursday show. 489-1240 or 800-825-5865. Elijah got to see the game winner between the Nuggets and Lakers. Your pure joy moments in sports. Mine was just blindly fist pumping after the Nebraska-Missouri win. My late grandma, bless her soul, Grandma Shirley, got smacked a little bit, and unintentional, the glasses were flying. Elijah was hugging pure strangers yesterday, last night. Connor, I'm sure it revolves around the Cubs World Series, that final catch.
Yeah.
Because it's not a Bears thing.
Well, if the double doink game went the other way, then I'd probably that would probably be up there. But I was not. I was in my house for the Cubs World Series with my mom and our dog at the time that we literally got like 2 months prior, so he probably thought that we were absolute psychopaths. But that was definitely a night I'll never forget.
I think I've made my top three. I've had some time to think, and I said earlier I think this moment last night was top three, and it's not three, and it's probably not two. I think my top three, which I kind of have one across the teams. I've followed one of each of them. Like Nebraska growing up, it was always that 2011 Ohio State comeback. That was the pure joy moment, being in the stands. Like Rex Burkhead's go-ahead touchdown was like 20 yards out, whatever it was. Like
that's, swing pass.
That's a pure joy moment.
Check down.
Joystick.
Then I look at the Broncos, and I go to that Tim Tebow, Demaryius Thomas overtime against the Steelers moment. It's funny. I think that actually exceeds the Super Bowl. Just
really?
That one singular moment. Because it's that moment of, oh, God, Tim Tebow's dropping back to pass on 1st and 10. This is going to go horribly. And Demaryius Thomas goes streaking down the field. I think that might even beat the Super Bowl.
So it's not Von Miller terrorizing the entire state of North Carolina?
The difference being that Von Miller, like that strip sack, was in the first quarter. That's a great moment,
true,
but there's still a lot of game left. It's not
but
a game winner.
He dominated that game.
He did.
Jeff chimes in. His pure joy moment play was tailgating with our friends at Blur. He got to meet Dwayne Wade, Gabriel Union, and played Tippy Cup against him.
And won.
They lost. He won. Well done, Jeff. Well done. But we'll take more of your comments into hour two, your pure joy moment of sport. I got to go to the Missouri-Nebraska game, 97. Short second, right in there, is going to be Alex Henry, the 57-yard bomb. Hour two with Kenny Bell next.
The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Back with you. It's Hour 2. It's Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, Connor Clark. We welcome in a standout Husker, all Big Ten performer. You see him on BTN, and you'll catch him at the Herdat Sports Bar and Grill Friday with Amir Abdullah, Nate Gary, Kenny Bell back with us on the show. Kenny, thanks for a few minutes, man. How we doing?
Oh, very, very good. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well,
how you doing?
I'm good, man. Good to hear your voice again, and excited to have you guys being a part of Team Jack and the event to raise money for pediatric cancer research. And you know, Keddy, a lot going on this weekend. You know it well, and the spring game brings so many Nebraskans together. I wanted to kind of get your thoughts to start out. We'll talk about the event 5:30 in La Vista coming up in a minute. But how juiced are you, man? How excited are you for this spring and what may unfold here, what you get to see Saturday?
Yeah, as always, I try and hold off my excitement until usually this week or the weeks leading up to it. But I'm in full Kool-Aid drinking mode, so I'm very excited for what Coach Rule and the staff and all the guys have in store. I think they've been working hard. I think, you know, the news has been a little bit quieter, and I think that's good. That's good news. You know, they're not in the headlines every other day with something crazy happening. So I think their heads have been down. They've been working hard, and I'm really excited to see the product that that they put forth this year.
Kenny, I'm curious to get the opinion of a guy who spent a lot of his life catching passes. What's your take on Dylan Riley, the little bits you've seen from him, just being on the other side of it, being a guy who received so many passes in your life?
Right.
What is your take on Dylan Riley?
Yeah, it's one thing with the arm talent. There's always been a lot of guys that can throw it well, but how he's handling the media attention and all, you know, the spotlight and how he's handling that, that's what I'm more impressed with. So I think a kid with that kind of talent, that'll come on the field eventually, that it always does. How you handle the day-to-day with the media and with all the meetings and everything that he's got going on, how fast he adapts to that lifestyle will say a lot to how fast he can adapt come the fall.
Quickly here, you said there's a lot of guys that have had a lot of arm talent. Who's the guy in your life that had the most arm talent of anyone you've ever seen or anyone you've ever played with?
Jameis Winston, without a doubt.
Kenny Bell's with us on Hail Varsity Radio, and I want to go to that wide receiver room here real quick, the guys who will be probably be spending a lot of time with Dylan Riola this season. But a name we keep talking about, Jalen Lloyd from last year, had a couple of big-time explosive plays. Expecting more of that from him. What do you expect to jump from first to second year, and what was your experience from your freshman to sophomore year?
I think the biggest difference will be the game will start to slow down for them in that room particularly. They're going to come into a role now where they're going to be expected to make plays for a young quarterback. It's not, the ball's not going to be perfect every time, and the read's not going to be perfect every time, and it shouldn't be expected out of that room for it to be like that. So those guys have to be confident in their assignment, right? Getting lined up and being in the right place so the young man doesn't have to make those decisions. They can be in those positions for him and then make plays and make him look good. That's what wide receivers with a young, unexperienced quarterback, that's what good wide receivers will be looking to do this season.
Kenny Bell's with us here, Hail Varsity Radio, heard at Sports Bar and Grill, where you can see Kenny, Amir Abdullah, Nate Gary, Team Jack event, a panel going on Friday at 5:30 in La Vista. Get your reservations now. Food and drink proceeds go to benefit Team Jack and the foundation. And, Kenny, we were talking to start the show off. Question out there about Nebraska changing their late-game DNA. What gave you and your team's confidence in those late-game moments? You guys had a lot of close wins during your time at Nebraska.
Yeah, I mean, it was the preparation that went into the season that these guys are doing right now, right? We believe that when it came down to it, when it was the third and fourth quarter, we didn't believe that those guys worked as hard as we did at 5 in the morning in May and in June. And that's when not only those kind of gritty times of the game come down to it, but that's where it comes down to W's and losses. That's where you develop a culture within your program of winning, right? That this is going to be brutal on all of us, but if we can come together, we'll find a way through it, and that's how you win football games in the fall.
Kenny, a thought from you as we turn our attention to Friday night. What does this Team Jack mean to you and your mates?
Oh, man, to Team Jack and not only the foundation but the Hoffman family mean the world to myself, my family, and my teammates. I was very fortunate during my Nebraska tenure to spend that time with Rex and the Hoffman family. And we look forward to any event that we can do every single year, whether it's the gala or it's the golf tournament or this week with the spring game and the Herdat restaurant. Anytime that we can try to give back to the foundation and the families, we jump at that opportunity because the foundation and those families have provided such special experiences for not only myself, but I mean, a number of guys that are from my era of Huskers.
Kenny, we've seen this under Matt Rhule as well, guys getting back out into the community, outreach, trying to get connected with the community. It's a thing that you and your teammates did really well under Bo Pelini as well, that community outreach and getting out there. And I want to get your thoughts. What has outreach and this the Team Jack Foundation brought to you? How has it changed your life?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a reflection of the head man, right? I think we did it so much because Bo understood what Nebraskans meant to the University of Nebraska. And I think Coach Rhule understands that, because when you get out in the community and you realize that you're a part of something that's much, much bigger than yourself, it humbles you in a way that makes you more open to being a part of something that is not all about you, you know, if that makes sense. When you get out and you see the kids that you have an influence on and the people that cheer you on, you start to realize, you know, they're not necessarily cheering me specifically on, they're cheering us on. And when you start to understand that, that's when it becomes pretty special, and that's when you can, you know, develop a winning football culture.
Kenny, is there a specific moment that you remember that kind of reminded you or told you that, hey, this is bigger than just the 11 guys on either side of the ball? Was it, you know, running into that full stadium? Was it Jack running it in for the touchdown during the spring game? What was that moment for you saying, hey, this is a massive deal and it's bigger than just football?
I think there's a lot of aha moments like that for me. But I think the number one was I took my official visit in 2009. We were playing K-State at home. And I was there with, like, Levante David, and we were all there on an official visit. And I realized just by walking into the stadium as a recruit how much more Nebraska football meant to not only the people but the organization but everyone, how much more it meant to everyone involved than anywhere I had visited. So that was kind of leaving the campus that night. I knew I wanted to go to Nebraska.
Kenny, it is NFL draft week. You let in with Levante and a great article at ESPN from Jason Light about he is the prototype, man. Anyone you draft, you hope it's Levante David, not only from a talent standpoint, but a character standpoint. And Levante still going strong a decade plus in. Where were you at for the draft? I know you spent some time in the league, and a number of your teammates got to the league. And right now, Nebraska's trying to get back to those numbers, getting back into the NFL when it comes to this weekend. And how was your NFL draft experience? Were you with family, with buddies? How'd it go?
Yeah, it went well. I was drafted in the fifth round down to Tampa Bay. I was just back home in Boulder with family and friends. It was a fun day. But a lot of people don't realize the celebration is fun, but, I mean, you fly out the next day and you go straight to work. So it's not like you get to – you don't spend a week hanging out and celebrating. You celebrate, you watch, and then you pack your bags and you get on a plane and you go to work. So draft experience was incredible. But I can't lie when I say I don't miss the days of NFL training camp. Those I'm glad those are behind me.
Yeah, the word is from pros we've talked to, you earn your money during camp, and is it as brutal as advertised?
I would say more so, yeah.
Jeez.
Training camp in the NFL is like not very many people experience that kind of environment or culture. It's very competitive, and I mean, it's you can get fired every single day that you go to work, so you got to show up ready.
Can you replicate an experience like that in college? We've heard about Matt Rhule's physical practices and how Matt Rhule likes to create tough players through tough practices, if you will. Can you even replicate the pressure and the physicality of an NFL training camp in college, or is that just impossible?
If I'm being honest, I can't speak on that right now because I don't have the experience with I haven't been around a college practice in the day-to-day for 10 years now. Fair. I could tell you that when I was in school, no one was making hundreds of thousands of dollars, so there was definitely a bit more incentive to making it, if that made sense. Mm-hmm. On top of that, we had a coaching staff that made sure we were prepared for the NFL by coaching us like we were in the NFL. And I don't know if that exists now in college football, just because kids can enter the transfer portal, right? If you don't like a situation, you can leave. That's not like that in the NFL either. So the college coaches, man, are fighting an incredibly tough battle right now. Not that I feel bad for them. It comes with the territory, but they're that's a tough fight right now. So it's so different, and the kids, or not, I don't want to call them kids, the players are at such different levels that I'm not sure you can replicate that at this point in time in college football.
Well, when it comes to being prepared for the NFL through college, and we talked to former Husker Jay Moore yesterday, and he said that when he got to Nebraska, he was not an NFL player, but when he left, he was. So when it comes to that coaching staff developing you, not only physically but mentally, to be an NFL player, is that just based off of style? Is that based off of attitude, how they treat you? What goes into that?
I think it's a combination of all the things. It's all-encompassing, right? You have to realize that you are a student, one, but you are a professional football player. That's your job. That's your commitment. And realize, the sooner you realize that, the better. But it's going to be very difficult with the changing times in college football to kind of hammer that home. I'm interested to see how it plays out in the NFL. I'm very interested. It's going to make it an interesting case study, to say the least.
Kenny Bell's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. He is at the Herdat Sports Bar and Grill Friday, 5:30 in La Vista. Nate Gary, Amir Abdullah, the Team Jack event. Get your reservations with Herdat Sports, and proceeds go to Team Jack. And Kenny and his mates are so gracious to be a part of it, and going to be up there in La Vista at the Herdat Sports Bar and Grill. So get your reservations now. Kenny, we were talking pure joy moments in sports. Elijah was at the Denver Lakers game last night, saw the game winner.
Oh.
We have a lot of folks and friends in the stream, as they are saying some of their pure joy moments were seeing your return against Penn State, that overtime snow globe ball game.
Or how about the block against Wisconsin?
Well, I was going there too. The time you murdered somebody in Indy. Those are a couple that have been brought up. Husker fans chiming in. What's your pure joy moment, either as a player or as a sports fan?
I'll give you a couple here because you guys just took me right down memory lane. Number one, obviously, is Jack's run.
Yeah.
As a fan and as a player, that was the most unique and special moment I ever experienced in my career, and I'm forever grateful to the Nebraska staff, administration, players, and obviously the Hoffman family, and then obviously all of the Nebraska fans that cheered that on. That was incredible. Jack won an SB for it, and everything that has ensued from that, I could not be more grateful for. So that's probably obviously number one. Shout out to everyone that said the Penn State kickoff, because that personally for me is my favorite play in my Husker career. That was a big one, and I was young, and that kind of shook the cobwebs of being young and inexperienced on the team, and moved me into more of a veteran role, and I was very, very, very happy about that one. As a fan, by far the best moment is the Nuggets winning the championship last year, obviously. And then the year before that, the Avalanche winning, flying down to Tampa Bay and watching the Avs hoist the cup in the city that I was drafted by was awesome. literally living in the glory days of Colorado sports right now, and I am loving every minute of it and very, very thankful for it.
Tell you what, Kenny, you should have been there for that game winner last night. That was something.
I know. I wish you wouldn't have said that. That was a dagger. I posted it on my Instagram with Jamal shooting over AD this morning. If there's a game five, I'll definitely be there on Monday.
You get a chance to draft one former or former teammate or former Husker for the upcoming Team Jack golf outing this summer. Before we say goodbye, who is it?
Ooh. Everyone actually tag him because I'm trying to get him to come to the tournament. So if you guys could tag Eric Crouch for me, get after him, let him know we want him at the Team Jack Golf Tournament. We'd love to have him out, and I need some revenge because he beat me up all over Benson Golf Course last time we played. he took me out there and whooped me all over the course. So I need some rematch. I need a rematch, and we need to get him out for the foundation and for some golf this summer.
So Kenny's saying payback. I mean, come on out for a friendly
for
round
a good
of golf.
Cause.
For a great cause.
Yeah,
amazing
yeah,
cause.
Exactly.
Get out to La Vista Friday night, 5:30, Herdat Sports Bar and Grill. Team Jack event with Kenny Bell with us here on Hail Varsity. Amir Abdullah, Nate Gary, 5:30 start time. Get your reservations. Proceeds go to Team Jack. Kenny, you take care. We'll see you Saturday. Thanks for the time.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, guys. Go Big Red.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back into it, it's Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Michael Brunts with us from Husker 24/7 at Michael Brunts on Twitter, as he is the proud owner of a unicorn swimming pool, not a Denver fan when it comes to the throwback unis. And Brunts,
is anybody a fan of the new Broncos uniforms? Though is the question. The throwbacks are better than nothing.
I like the white look with the old Denver D. So, Bruntsy, you don't like the old Orange Crush unis?
No, I love them. That needs to be the uniform, not the XFL USFL versions they've been running out the last couple of days here. It looks way too much like Texas San Antonio or like UTEP. No offense.
I will say, Brunts, I was in Denver yesterday. I rolled down to the stadium. I was one of the first people there. I was just going to go check out the stadium and see if there was any like mannequins, and I was one of the first people to the fan store. So I have sent you a picture here live during the interview of the pictures I took of the mannequins. They look better in person. I still don't think they're an upgrade on the old uniforms, but upon seeing them like up close, personal, like I was like, okay, you know what? They're maybe not as bad as I thought whenever I saw them on Twitter.
Yeah, okay. I'll take your word for it. I don't know why they need to make this difficult. I mean, you had the perfect uniform, perfect logo back in like 1989. Like the perfect logo has been there for years. Just use that logo. That's all you got to do. And they keep screwing it up. And then somehow it got even worse because they traded for Zach Wilson yesterday right after they announced the jerseys. I don't know which thing they're trying to cover up, the terrible trade or the terrible uniforms. You tell me.
Both is the answer.
Yeah.
Both is the answer. But at least you know Peyton's going to trade up and get you that long-lost Elway 2.0, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, they at least like my theory initially was they were trying to save themselves a buck by not having to switch the last names on the jersey, but I guess they have to now with the Wilson. So,
Brunty, spring football Saturday, a lot of anticipation. Some things you're excited about here with the grain of salt, it being the spring game.
Yeah, no, quarterbacks I think are kind of towards the top of the list. I think you're going to see a lot of veterans who are not going to be playing or suited up on Saturday. I'm expecting some pretty vanilla play calls as well. Not to throw any water on that for anybody that's on the fence about going, but I do think, you know, the quarterbacks are going to be the headline for better or for worse by the time they walk off the field on Saturday. You're also kind of eager to see some of the young guys that you know, we've been hearing a little bit about. I mean, it feels like almost every other, you know, media availability, you get a Vincent Shavers mentioned. Kind of curious to see how he looks at that inside linebacker spot. And just kind of seeing, you know, this wide receiver group too. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of attention focused on the offense, and for good reason. And who knows? I mean, if you get a deep ball, maybe a couple deep balls hit to a new guy. I mean, you might be talking about things like we did in 2011 when Breon Carnes hit Jamal Turner long in the spring game. So maybe get a little bit of buzz from that.
It's Michael Brunts with us here on Hail Varsity Radio, talking some Husker spring game thoughts. And Brunsy, what's your take on, I guess, optimism with the offense following what sounds like another good scrimmage on Saturday? Do you think there needs to be a regression to mean by the time Saturday rolls around? You know, offense trying to keep a little bit under wraps. The defense has a little motivation after a couple of bad scrimmages. Do you expect a return to the mean, in that regard on Saturday, that the defense might come back and play well?
Yeah, and it's always kind of interesting because you never really know how guys are going to react when the lights are on, right? You know, for it's one thing to kind of do it as a quarterback or a skill position player when it's a scrimmage and there's not a ton of people in the crowd. And it's a totally different thing when you're having to do it in front of a crowd of, you know, 50,000 or more for the first time. Like, it's a completely different animal. So I'm expecting a little bit of regression in that way. I don't think they're going to run more or anything more exotic on offense on Saturday than what they've run in the two scrimmages. So I don't know. I mean, I think if the offense is efficient and you don't have, you know, the false starts and the turnover issues and things like that, I mean, I think you can kind of take that as a nice little bow on what I think has been a pretty strong spring for the most part for the offense. I mean, I think, you know, they've got some pieces in place where they can get some things done and be improved from last year. And, you know, like I said, I mean, I'm expecting you're probably not going to have a lot of the veteran defensive guys in there. So, you know, you got to take that big grain of salt there as well. But, I mean, I'm expecting, you know, the offense to be competitive. We'll see how explosive they can really be, though.
Michael Brunt's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio, senior writer with Nebraska 24/7. Can find Bruntsy on Twitter as well, at Michael Brunt. Spring football thoughts for Saturday. Do you expect a noticeable or a big gap, or do you think it will be a situation where all three quarterbacks look good?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm guessing that it'll probably vary based upon who's with whom on the offense. I mean, I think that's going to be the big thing, is, you know, how each of those quarterbacks looks with, you know, what you would kind of say is the top offense or pieces of the top offense. You know, I think each quarterback's kind of had their moment at times this spring. And, you know, I think, you know, this is going to carry on. This competition is going to carry on into the fall. So I'm not expecting too huge of a gap, but I mean, I think in certain things that the quarterbacks are going to be asked to do, I'm expecting that things will look a little different. I mean, Dylan Raiola has a really strong arm, and I think that's going to show up. It's just going to look a little bit different coming out of his hand than it does the other quarterbacks. So, you know, we'll see what kind of results that you know, brings along. But, you know, I think they're going to rotate a fair amount with those quarterbacks. I mean, I really think they're going to give each of them a chance to kind of work with that top offense and see what they can do. So we'll see how that looks. But, yeah, I mean, I think as much as anything for for Kalen and Raiola, it's about just kind of managing the moment, because this is, you know, on a totally different level than anything they've experienced before.
Mike, when you look back to last season, the spring game into fall, I think there was some tinkering with the offense. I want to get your thoughts, though. Do you think that Marcus Satterfield tailored his offense to his quarterbacks, as you're kind of saying here, that with different strengths, they do different things? Do you think we saw that last year with the offense, that the offense was tailored to the quarterback depending on who was in there?
Yeah, I mean, the offense that Heinrich Harburg was running in the middle of the season was not the offense that they went into the season looking to run. You know, there was going to be a lot of the quarterback run stuff with Jeff Sims, but I think they kind of found that, you know, there were different strengths that Harburg had that, you know, Sims didn't necessarily have. I mean, I think Heinrich Harburg had a pretty good feel for some of the option stuff and better so than the other quarterbacks. And that's kind of what they went with when he was healthy. So I think there's kind of a base offense that they want everybody to be able to do, that kind of pro style offense that they want to run, and they're going to run come hell or high water. But I think kind of the wrinkles that they run off of that are probably a little bit different based on who's in there and kind of what those strengths are. And I would expect that would be, you know, the case this year too. I mean, you know, if you go to Harburg, I mean, it's going to look a little bit different probably in what they call, compared to the other two, who aren't necessarily as good of runners or as willing of runners as maybe what Heinrich is. So I think you kind of always have to tailor it a little bit. I think last year was a little bit of a special case given kind of how things played out, where it was, you know, a different offense in the middle of the season. And then once you had even more injuries, it was just kind of a potpourri almost of kind of what they were trying to do. And that's a tough way to have success.
Brunson, we'll get you out of here on this. Want to get your thoughts on tonight, Nebraska, Kansas, Drew Christo, Big Red trying to fix Tuesdays.
Yeah, no, another swing at midweeks for Nebraska.
Pun intended there? Was there a pun intended there?
No, kind of, a little bit. with Christo, he's been in the weekend all over. They went to Will Walsh on Sunday instead of Drew Christo, and now he gets Tuesday night. It's an opportunity for him to kind of step in and, kind of get right the ship a little bit. His last couple outings have not been very good. He hasn't made it out of the third inning in either of those starts. So this is a chance for him to kind of reset the deck a little bit on kind of where his season's headed. And for Nebraska, they came off of a nice series win over Maryland. They won with the mercy rule on Sunday. This Kansas team is actually playing pretty good baseball too themselves. They went down to Baylor and won a series down there. They won by mercy rule on Sunday too. So this should actually be a pretty good matchup. Potential for a high scoring game just based on how the pitching kind of lines up and also how the offenses tend to play. So, opportunity for Nebraska to kind of get more things done on this homestand. They've got this midweek, and then they host Iowa for three coming in here. So it's a really important week for Nebraska in terms of kind of where they're headed.
Michael, quickly here, I'm not sure. I've been out of town on vacation, so I'm not sure I'm out of the loop here, but I'm seeing that tonight is Canadian night at Haymarket Park for this Husker
denim
game. Does anyone know what that means? Is that just wear your best Canadian tuxedo? What does that entail? Do you have any idea?
I believe, now that you can get beer, maybe that means that you're looking at a Labatt's or a Molson's or something like that. But I think that means you a strong chance of poutine, maybe. they get you like the souvenir cup of poutine. I don't know. It's just a celebration of the fact that Nebraska has more Canadians on their roster than you'd probably expect by just looking at it. But I guess put the jeans on, get the gravy, and head out to the ballpark. I guess that's the recipe there.
Jean jackets, smoked meat, and Labatt's.
And yelling about the Maple Leafs. That's what you're doing tonight.
Go Leafs! Brunsie, we'll check in later. Thanks for the time.
Anytime, guys. Thanks a lot.
Good to spend time with Michael Brunt, Hail Varsity Radio. Dave Manerick going to join us here next segment. We'll talk Cornhusker State games. Time to get signed up and get that wiffle ball team assembled. Reminder about Nebraska Department of Highway Safety. Use your seatbelt. It saves lives. It prevents injuries only if properly worn. Make it click. A message from the NDOT Highway Safety Office. We forgot to ask Brunsie about his pure joy moment in sport. Elijah lived it, per se, last night. Denver and Lakers playoff game winner. Laid out my Nebraska memories. Kenny Bell talked about a couple of his moments in top one, of course, with Jack's run.
I'm going to throw the court storm against Wisconsin in there for me,
too. That's fair. That's very good.
Hell of a comeback.
Some memories to be made for sure with Cornhusker State games. We'll tell you about it. Dave Manerick, Executive Director, next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Cotter Clark. Todd emails in, hands down to this day, even as a young 22-year-old, seeing Tom win his first natty and the emotion in his eyes the best. That was Todd chiming in on his pure joy moment in sports. A lot of joy with Cornhusker State games, the Nebraska Sports Council, and they've been doing it for 40 years, celebrating Cornhusker State games. Dave Manerick with us, executive director, of course, across the Hail Varsity Radio Network, can also watch this on the stream, Hail Varsity YouTube. Dave, I love the backdrop, my friend. It's good to talk some Cornhusker State games, 40 and counting, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's hard to believe it's 40 years. I mean, 1985 to me, of course, I'm a relic, doesn't seem like that long ago. You know, I was in high school, and I do remember having NET on at my grandma's house. I don't know why we were out there, but on a Friday night at some point in the summer of 1985, I had it on, and there was the Cornhusker State Games opening ceremonies. And that was my first exposure to the state games. And it was the inaugural year. And a few years after that, I interviewed for the low-paying internship of coordinating the statewide torch run. And within a few weeks of being part of the organization, I fell in love with the whole thing. It's sports and a lot of different sports. I love geeking out on, you know, what is fencing? Never seen that before. Or cornhole or disc golf or, you know, grew up with football, basketball, and baseball, but I'm a competition guy. So I loved that whole concept. I love seeing our state from one end to the other and meeting all of these tremendous people in all of these towns, a lot of them that are still great friends today. And by the end of the torch run, the first torch run that I was on in 91, I was hooked. And I think that whole spirit, that vibe, that family friendliness, that friendly competition thing, yet very competitive thing that all Nebraskans kind of share, that's what makes the Cornhusker State Games great. We have more than 70 sports. It's July, this year it's July 11th through the 21st. So we got competitions on those two main weekends in July. And it's just fun to be part of, to go participate in your favorite thing or to watch. It's really a spectacle for Nebraska.
Dave, before we dive too deeply into this year's games and some of the new sports that are going to be on display this summer, you being a sports guy, you got to have that moment that stands out in your memory of being the pure joy moment of sports fandom, where whether you're at the game or you're watching it on TV, there is just pure joy based on what happened in said sporting event. Do you have that event off the top of your head where it's just pure joy whenever you think back about it?
It was definitely the first 90s national championship game when Corey Schlesinger crossed the plane of the goal line. And we were actually, my wife and I were actually driving back from family stuff, and we're listening to Kent Pavelka call that game on the radio. And some of my favorite memories, I'm old enough, are listening to games on the radio. And I'm a St. Louis Cardinals fan because in Clearwater, Nebraska, you could actually get KMOX.
That's Jack awesome. Buck on the
late at night, believe it or not. They had the blowtorch and we could pick it up. And so I listened to the St. Louis Cardinals. But listening to Kent call that game was, and having been through, you know, in my lifetime, a lot of the 80s, just, I mean, super great Husker teams and lots of wins, but just disappointment in all the big moments. So that was my greatest memory of fandom, I guess.
Dave, I am psyched about the wiffle ball edition that Schmitty was telling me about earlier. In addition to that, what other new things can we expect this year from the Nebraska State Games, and how can people get involved?
I'm psyched about wiffle ball too, by the way. My kids probably like Schmitty's, and they would go to their club baseball tournament and they would play seven games in 2 days and they could not wait to get home when there was enough daylight and sometimes into the dark to play with the neighborhood kids in a game of wiffle ball. And so you kind of baseball junkies, you get the whole thing about wiffle ball. The coolest thing ever. You can throw big curveballs. You can fool people with changeups that it doesn't quite happen with the baseball that way.
No, it didn't.
But anyway,
I think dies midair.
Yes. Now they have the blitz balls and everything. You don't need that. You just need a little spin.
Dave, tell us.
I was just going to say, you know, it being the 40th year, we're really creating this reunion atmosphere. And we've done that on past milestone years. You know, I remember 25, we did our best to invite everybody back for this year. And that's what we're doing this year. We've invited all of our past torchlighters back to be part of opening night, which happens on July 11th at Pinnacle Bank Arena. And it's going to be a fun experience having the torch lighting that night and many past torchlighters who are sports celebrities. We've heard a couple of them mentioned already here in your show tonight. I was just listening. Jack Hoffman was one of our past torchlighters, as was Eric Crouch. And I didn't even listen that long, and I heard a couple names of prominent Nebraskans who've lit the torch. And so just having that reunion feel is the main thing that we're doing to celebrate 40 years.
Dave Manerick's with us. Cornhusker State games get signed up. Entry fees increase after midnight tonight. You have a sport you love. It's probably in the Cornhusker State games, Nebraska Sports Council.
Schmidt, we got to get you into skydiving this year.
Yeah. Here, take this parachute, says Elijah.
I packed it myself.
You did. Bricks. Dave, let's talk about the Alex, if we can.
Yeah, Rebecca and Josiah Alec have agreed to be this year's torch lighters. And, you know, some years back we used to keep that a mystery every year, but it's just more fun to have people kind of know what's going to happen, especially when it's fan favorites like the Alec siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, with sports stories, especially Husker stories, which are the main stories here in Nebraska, these two and the spirit and fire they brought to their teams and each other's teams. One of my favorite things about them was watching them attend each other's games and the other sports that were happening. It's like, these kids are super sports nuts and they care for each other. And I love hearing about how they used to just fight. Physically just throw down. I have that same relationship with my siblings, but seeing these two and the spirit that they brought to their teams and the spark they gave Nebraska, I think makes them the ideal choice for this year's torch lighters.
Dave, we're up against a hard break. Can we keep you on the other side here?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Hang tight. Dave Manerick with us, Nebraska. And you love it. The Cornhusker State Games year 40 deadline. Before prices increase tonight at midnight, CornhuskerStateGames.com.
And Dave, during this break, we need you to think of some pitches to convince Schmitty to join the skydiving competition. I think that could be a lot of fun.
I will not. I'm not a heights guy, but I am a wiffle ball guy. So, hang tight. More with Dave Manerick, and get the podcast segment Spotify, iTunes, Google Play with Hail Varsity Radio. We'll wind down at Tuesday next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time on a Tuesday, it's Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Cotter Clark. Big thanks to Mitch Sherman from The Athletic, Kenny Bell in hour two, Michael Bruntz of Husker 24/7, Dave Manerick still with us and excited to talk Cornhusker State games with him, as it's the 40th anniversary of Cornhusker State Games. Dave, so many sports, so many different venues to celebrate the Cornhusker State Games. We talk all the games in several locations around the state, and that thing's continued to grow. You got to be proud.
Yeah, I love it. The most sports are still held in Lincoln, but we have 11 sports that take place in Omaha now, in greater Omaha. We have different sports that happen in Fremont, Columbus, Grand Island, and North Platte. And we've pulled a couple of our traditionally good sports sort of out into their own events in Kearney. So we have a presence in a lot of the communities in Nebraska, and that makes me really proud.
Are you participating or are you just observing?
I'm signed up for the 5K run.
Oh, cool.
And I sign up every year, and it works out about half the time that I get down there and get the sneakers on and go ahead and actually give it a go. But I always sign up just so as I'm out visiting sites, if it feels right, I can do it. I'll just jog the event. I'm not running for time. I'll put it that way.
Dave, one more time. How can folks get signed up? How can they get locked in? And they need to do it before midnight before that price increase.
Yeah, it's actually midnight tomorrow night. So
thank you.
Yes. They got an extra day. So Wednesday night, all day Wednesday you have. But sign up tonight anyway. It's CornhuskerStateGames.com. Click on the sport listing, and you'll be able to find all the details, the date you have to play, and you'll avoid a price increase again if you get in before tomorrow night at 11:59.
Real quick, some of the partners that have helped you out and continue to be friends of the Cornhusker State Games.
Yeah, you know, our platinum partners, you know, have all been around for quite a while, but we have over 150 sponsors, and that's $1,500 and up. We don't really receive any government or tax funding. We've always been an organization that partners with the business community, and the business community in Nebraska is so awesome. They really support things like this and enable us to do what we do and have a year-round presence and be one of the best be the best organization that does state games across the country. Our team is amazing, and the other states pretty much line up to understand and know what we're trying to do in Nebraska and follow us around. It's pretty cool.
Dave, thanks so much for your work and what you've done and being a part of Cornhusker State Games, you and your team, and Nebraska Sports Council Executive Director Dave Minerick. And get signed up for Cornhusker State Games. We will huddle, men, on the wiffle ball.
I got an idea, though. If we can't get the wiffle ball going, we could get a KFOR Sports Golf Scramble.
Done. Golf.
That sounds good.
We can show up and get our asses kicked by Jay Moore.
Yeah. Not if he's on the team.
It's one way to eliminate competition. You can't beat him, join him.
Yeah. Jay, what are you doing? Dave, you take care, man. Thanks for telling us what's going on.
Hey, thanks for always getting us on. We appreciate getting the word out.
All right, there he is, Dave Minerick with us. And we'll be back at you tomorrow getting geared up for the spring game. We're at the Single Barrel Thursday Roadshow 4 to 6, weekend edition, pregame before spring game 8 to 10 Saturday. Talk to you tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity.